Good morning. Today's daf Mabmesiyah is daf Yitzayin. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is on the Zechon Shemat Libig Arviela Bashmuel. We begin today on Tezayin. We are in the very bottom of Tezayin, Amad Aleph. We just finished the Gemara's discussion about Smichas Das. We had a very interesting discussion in the Gemara yesterday about confidence in buying. And as long as there is high confidence in a sale, so then you know that the two participants are serious, and that will ratify the transaction. If, however, there is no smichas das, if you're just simply not confident, and part of that lack of confidence can be a virtue of the fact that you simply don't know whether or not he can produce the goods or not. Gemara gave a number of examples yesterday. So then that lack of seriousness is going to uproot the entire Kenyan. The Gemara continues now. We are on the very bottom of Tzayin Amud Aleph. Have uvde b'badisa v'usvei. We did that. Okay, Maishan Reisha Maishan HaSefa. The Gemara says, what's the difference between the Reisha and the Sefa? Now, you remember yesterday we were talking about pre-sale. Pre-sales of, let's say I go over to a person who traps for a living, and I make a pre-sale with him. And I say, anything that gets into your trap over the course of the day, I want to buy. Or let's talk about it from his perspective. He comes over and he says, anything that comes into my trap today, I'm going to sell. So you agree. So the Gemara says, that's not a transaction. And the reason why is because it hasn't yet arrived. So that's just a perfect example where there's no smichus das. You can also put it in another terminology. It's a davar shelo bala olam, which we're going to explore in just a bit. But anyway, so that's the first part of the braisa. The second part of the braisa says, but what if he comes over to you and says anything that I catch over the course of just today, and you say yes? So the second half of the braisa says, well, that's a sale. Well, the Gemara says, well, I don't understand. What just happened? In the first half of the braisa, they said that anything that happens in the future is not a sale. And then, as long as you confine it to one day, that's fine. The Gemara says, that doesn't make any sense. Maishan Reisha or Maishan Sefa, that's the Gemara's question. We're in the very bottom of Tezayin Amud Aleph. So I'm Rav Yochanan Sefa. Mashi irash me'aba hayom mishum kvod aviv. Mashi tala mitzudas hayom mishum top of Amud Beis. Kidei chayav. So the Gemara says like this. Generally speaking, anything that is a pre-sale is simply not a sale. It's not a transaction. That's the general rule. Then the Gemara says, but there's certain dispensations that are made. So for example, now Rashi really speaks this out. Rashi says, let's say the guy comes over to you and he says, unfortunately, my father, who is not yet dead, and I have not yet inherited his property, but unfortunately, he is a ghost, and also, I've one unfortunate situation. The second one is, I just simply don't have money. In other words, then I need the money in order to bury my father. So I understand that he's not dead yet, and I understand that I haven't inherited his estate yet, but under such a circumstance, so the Chachamim allowed a pre-sale, even though you haven't inherited anything yet. So take a look at the bottom Rashi on Tzayin Amud Aleph, where Rashi writes, Kishayaviv Gosis, Vitzarach Maus, Lekvur Aso. Dad was unfortunately dying, and he needed money in order to bury his father. Lekvur Aso, Velotachrichen, Muzel Lechvod Avishalo Leshosim Bibizayim. So you don't want to put him in a position where, after the father's dead, and then and only then did he inherit money, and now he's going to have to convert that into money so they can bury his father. So the Chachamim allowed a person to make a pre-sale on a such a situation. Another example, says Rashi, now on the very top of Tezayin Amud Beis, and that is, let's say somebody just unfortunately does not have money, he's poor. Mashatala Mitzudas Yayom, Tiknu Chachamim, I'm reading the top Rashi, Sheyu Dvarv Kayamim. So the Chachamim Masakin, that this would be allowed. Shemat Sarechu, Lemizonas Dvar Muat. He needs food for the day. Ava Mashatala Mitzudas Yayom, Kol Chodesh, Kol Shana, Ein Sham, Mishum, Kedei Chayav. But if he's sailing, if the pre-sale is going on a month worth of catches or on a year's worth of cash, so Rashi says that's something where obviously if he's doing contracts that big, so he's not in desperate need of the money, and so therefore this dispensation is only allowed for the person who desperately needs the money and simply does not have the means. So under those two examples that the Gemara just gave and Rashi just explained, so a pre-sale would be okay. Very top of Tezayin Amud Beis, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. Homel Chaver Sadash Ani Lokech Lekishe'eka Chena Kenu Yalach Me'achshav Kana. So the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav Huna, in the name of Rav, where let's say I try to make a transaction with you over a piece of property that I don't currently own, but I plan on buying. So I say to another person, look, I plan on buying that property, and when I buy that property, this property is going to be sold to you. So once again, it's now basically falling under the same category of something that you currently don't have yet, but are negotiating the sale of it when you do get it. So Amar Rava, so Rava says, this is really hard halacha to understand in the name of Rav. I can understand if you're not negotiating over a particular field, and all you're saying to the potential buyer is, look, I'm going to buy a property, and once I buy that property, I'm going to sell over to you. So there, at least we can envision that, as long as you're not talking about specifically which property it is, so you can at least begin to understand that, okay, he'll buy a property. Meaning that that's within the realm of possibility, and there is a high level of confidence. Ava basadazu, lo. But if, let's say, I'm negotiating a specific property with a potential buyer that I don't yet own, but I'm telling him that the moment that I make that purchase, I'm selling it to you, and I want this transaction to work right now, so the Gemara says, so Rava says, I can't imagine that Rav would consider that to be a sale. So Rava says very succinctly, who's to say that you're going to get that piece of property? So once again, it's the way the Gemara seems to be framing this discussion, it seems to be a lack of confidence between buyer and seller. Or I should say better, seller and buyer. Because the seller is selling a property that he doesn't own yet, and he's turning to a specific property. Who's to say he's going to get it? So Veha Elokim. Right? You will see this kind of construct of a Gemara where Rav makes a statement. Rav says, I can't imagine, but the Gemara says, yeah, but imagine. Veha Elokim. Right? It's an expression. It's similar to the modern popular expression of, you know, oh my God. Veha Elokim. Amar Rav Afilu B'Sadazu. Rav doesn't hold back. Rav says that even if you want to negotiate a specific property that you don't currently own yet, Rav says that you can. You can negotiate the sale of a property even though you don't currently own it. So Michti, Rav Kaman Amar L'Shmaitik Rav Meir. So the Gemara says, okay, but now in understanding Rav, here's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to do this, and that is align Rav together with the Shita of Rav Meir. And Rav Meir is holding Amar Adam Akne Davash Lo Bala Olam. Rav Meir is of the opinion that a person can do a transaction on something that hasn't yet come into fruition. Detailing the Gemara quotes the Brisa, Amalisha, Hitkashilila, Hashitkayer. Let's say a man goes over to a woman and says, look, currently I'm not Jewish, but I plan on it. I have all the plans in the world. So let's do a Kiddusha now based on the future event that I'm going to convert. Or let's say she hasn't converted yet. Or let's say one of them is an Evet Kenani, he's an Evet Kenani, or she is a Shivcha Kenanis, and they're planning the Kiddushin for afterwards, but they are trying to make it effective immediately based on a future event. Or let's say currently she's married, so she's currently unavailable, so he's going to try to be Mekadish her, banking on a future event that her husband's going to die. Or a woman right now has a Zika. She's connected to her brother-in-law through the mitzvah of Yibum, and he is trying to make Mekadosh her. He can't right now. She's not Shomer Yavam. But he's going to try to be Mekadosh her based on the fact that her brother-in-law is going to do Chalitza. Or let's say he goes over to a woman who is married to a sister, and he says, look, let's plan for our marriage after your sister dies, your sister slash my wife. Okay, probably won't do good in the next family reunion, these kinds of proposals, but the Einam HaKadosh is going to the Chachamim, the Kedushin is not a valid Kedushin, because you're trying to affect a transaction based on a future event. The Chachamim said it doesn't work. And Rameir Omer Mekadesh, and Rameir says, yep, it works, sure. And because Rameir Lishitaso, throughout Shas, Rameir is of the opinion that Adam Makta Davash Lo Bala Olam, that you could do a transaction based on a future event. So the Gemara now is saying, so Rav over here, when negotiating a property based on a future event, and in this case, the future event is, I'm going to own the property. So on the plans that I'm going to own this property, I now want to sell it to you. So Rav says it works. And the Gemara says, even if it's a specific property, it works. Now the Gemara, all the Gemara is doing now is just simply aligning it together with Rav Meir. So the Gemara says, Va'isha kesad damya. Now when you're speaking about a specific woman, that's analogous to talking about a particular property. And Rav Meir in the Mishnah told us that it works regarding woman. So therefore, Rav says it works regarding specific property. The Amr Rav Meir Mekudeshes. So good. So basically, where we stand right now is that Rav is aligned together with Rav Meir on this issue of Adam Akna Davashala Bala Olam, where a person can do it. And when Rav was trying to throw in a qualifier, Rava, now the Gemara doesn't say this. What I'm about to say is speculation. Rava didn't know that. Rava didn't understand that. Rava is subscribing to the Shita of the Chachamim. Either way, Rava was trying to throw a stipulation in, but once we now know that Rav holds like Rav Meir, you don't have to throw in a stipulation. A person can do a transaction, according to Rav Meir, on a davar shelo bala olam. Amar Shmuel.
Rabbi Sugar, isn't that a Tanai? I mean, the second case, you can't do that with a Goses, but I mean, this property, is it not a
Tanai? Well, it's more than a condition. In other words, a condition is, here's what we're transacting, and on top of that, we're going to put a conditional clause. Here, you're actually, this is the item that we're actually trying to transact, meaning the property, or in the case of marrying a woman. This is the item we're actually trying to transact. The only problem is that currently it's unavailable. And we plan on the future of making it available. So it's a condition is where we have a specific transaction, and on top of that, there's another independent clause. Okay. The Gemara Amar Shmuel Amosi Shar Hakna B'Shuk Yachzir LaBalim. Okay, here we go. Returning now full circle to our topic of discussion, which got the Gemara started all together, and that is finding loan documents in the street. So if you find a loan document in the street, so Yachzir LaBalim, you can return it back to the original owner. Now remember Shar Hakna, we did this before, but let's review. Shar Hakna, where basically it is a loan document, and in the loan document, the borrower writes in the loan document that I'm going to be mishabed myself right now, even though I didn't get the money yet. In other words, from this point going forward, it's like a line of credit that you have against your house, right? Even though I didn't borrow the money yet, but right now the shibunim start right now. So under those circumstances, Rav Yochanan says, you find a document like that, so you can return it back to the owner. Owner meaning the malva, the lender. Because what are your concerns? Maybe the document was written up, but it wasn't handed over to the malva. So the Gemara says, Hashab and Navshev. The Gemara says, well, that's not a problem. Because remember, the clause in the contract was that the borrower is committing himself to the obligation immediately, even though the money hasn't been lent yet. So it's a... It is a he already committed himself. Now the imishim piron lochayshin lepiron, and Rav Yochanan says, and what are we worried about? That maybe the borrower already paid up the loan, and the lender handed back the document to the borrower, and it was lingering in the hand of the borrower. The Gemara says that is simply not a concern of Rav Yochanan. The imisa depriya mikra havekarele. If once the borrower has paid back the loan, and once the borrower gets his hands on that document, he's going to shred it immediately. So the Gemara says, so really, there's only one plausible conclusion in terms of who is a loser of this document. It was a lender, so give it back to the lender. So I'm Rav Nachman Abba min Sifrei Dayana Demar Shmuel Hava. Rav Nachman now recounts a story of when he was a child, and that story goes like this. I remember my father was one of the scribes in the court of Shmuel. Now remember, Rav Nachman was a student of Shmuel. So, and based on this story now, he knew Shmuel his entire life, meaning since childhood. V'havina kevashiso kevasheva. And I was about 6 or 7 years of age while I was sitting in the courtroom of Shmuel, together with my father. My father was one of his scribes. U'dechanadav mechazi v'amah hanishari ha'knasa demishachi b'shuka nadrin lamarayu. And I have a very vivid memory where there was a lost loan document, and it was a Shtar Hakna, and Rav Nachman said, okay, so then simply give it back to its owner, meaning give it back to the Malva. So this story that Rav Nachman recounts as he was a child is a good proof that this statement of Rav Yochanan is in fact accurate. Amar Rav Amar Afanamitanina. He says, I want to support this as well based on another Mishnah. This Mishnah is coming up. We're going to see this Mishnah in a day from now. Kol Maisa Beis Din Hari Zeh Yachzir. That if you have a Maisa Beis Din, if you have a court document, we're going to explain that better in just a moment. So you return it, meaning you return it to its owner. And again, presumably what we're discussing over here is a loan document. Now it's called a court document probably because it was certified, meaning that we know that loan documents can only be collected if it goes through a certification process. We've discussed that a number of times already in our Masechta. And so the certification process has to be done in court. So presumably now, this Mishnah is supporting exactly what we just said. That if you have a loan document and it's certified, so you return it back to its original owner, meaning you return it to the Malva. So, Amalo Cheshin Lipiron. Now, if we're worried that maybe the borrower paid back the loan and the borrower was the one who lost the loan document, so the Gemara says obviously the Braisa is not. The Mishnah is not concerned with that. Amalei Rabbi Zera Masis Mishtar Chaltava Drachta Dela Bnei Piran. No, so Rabbi Zera is going to try to deflect this last point, and that is the Mishnah you just quoted. I don't know if it's talking about a loan document, says Rabbi Zera. In fact, I can make the argument that it's talking about either a Chalta Asa. Chalta Asa, Rashi explains, is basically a foreclosure document, or it's an Adrachta. Or it's a warrant for seizure, for the allowance of the creditor to come and to take property. So in either one of these are court documents, and these are not payment documents. Dela b'nei piran ninu. So maybe that's what the Mishnah is describing over there. So Amar Rava v'hani la b'nei piran ninu v'ha amri nar dai. So Rava says, look, even Rabbi Zera, even if you're right, your premise is wrong, which is that you think that if it's talking about a document of seizure, so then that's not a payment document. It could very well be a payment document. Please consider the following. V'hamre Nahardai. It was said over in the yeshiva of Nahardai. Shuma hadara treso yarche. Shasa. Let's say that there was a foreclosure on the property. The borrower defaulted on the loan. And let's say the lender came and the lender took the property. Can the borrower buy back the property? Does he have the right to buy back the property? I think in American law, the answer is no, right? Enough people here involved in real estate, right? Meaning once a creditor forecloses, that's it, right? It's over. So in halacha, so the borrower still has a post foreclosure opportunity to buy back his property. Now, how long does an opportunity does he have? So in the yeshiva of Narada, they said a full year. The amar amemar anam Narada anav it's verily dishuma hadar la'olam, and amemar takes it even to a much greater extreme. He allows the borrower to buy back his property forever, meaning he has an indeterminate amount of time to buy back his property. Okay, so
it's a right, meaning
yeah,
that he can option.
He can option at any point in time. He wants to buy back a property that was foreclosed on him, so he could do it. So, right? Okay. I also took me by surprise. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, but fine. So now, with that in mind, so now the Gemara says, so now you have a document of foreclosure. So it can absolutely, a document of seizure, right, where it allows you to now seize the borrower's property. That could easily turn into a document with a payment attached to it, because now we know that the borrower has every right to buy back the property. At least a year after the property's been taken away from him, and according to Amemar, indefinitely. So, Rava says to Rabbi Zera, you think these documents don't have anything to do with payment? That's not true. Of course they do. So, Elam Rava Hasamainu Taima Dharma Ihu Dafsin Afshe. So, Rava says, now the reason over there is, he's the one who lost the meaning that when you're talking about a regular loan document, once the borrower paid up the document, you get your hands on the document, you should be shredding it immediately. So, or writing up another document about it. In other words, Rava says, look, if we're actually going to be describing where this loan document gets into the hands of the borrower and the borrower loses it, so Rava says, you know, That was really his fault, meaning he should have shredded it. And the Medina ara lo baila mehadar. So the Gemara says, now look, the truth be told is that according to the strict letter of the law, meaning when you're a creditor and you come and foreclose on somebody's property, so like everyone here intuitively thinks, that's it. Meaning, I lent the money, he defaulted on the loan, the property served as security against the loan, so I'm now collecting the property and it should be over. But the Gemara says, "Umishum vasisa yashava tov bein eshem hudam rabbanu tehader," and yet the Torah says, "Vasisa yashava tov," that you have to do good. Now that is a very generic pasuk, and strong encouragement to take a look at the Ramban on that pasuk, where the Ramban says it's a very basic Ramban. It should be common knowledge. This Ramban. The Ramban says over there that the Torah, when it comes to financial law, cannot outline and articulate every single halacha. There are just so many variables and permutations of monetary law. The Torah can give an outline, but that's it. The Torah can't fill in every single detail. And so therefore, what the Torah says, Vasisa Yashar Vatov, basically, with the outline in place, meaning we're going to be learning Baba, Kama, Metzia, and Basra over the course of the year. And now once you have the outline in place, so any monetary law that falls in the crack, so we got to fill it in, basically, knowing the outline, then we have to fill in the details. So here's an example. The example is that when you foreclose on a property and you take the property, so according to the strict letter of the law, it's yours. You shouldn't have to return. You shouldn't allow the borrower to buy it back. But then the Torah says, Vasisa Yashar Vatov. But you got to do what's right. And what's right is that, quite frankly, the borrower did not want to lose that property. The borrower was just hoping that he would pay back the loan, and he didn't. So now that now give him an opportunity to buy it back. Now again, how long to an opportunity? So that was the debate that we saw. But give him an opportunity, and the Gemara goes on to say, but really the truth of the matter is that when he's buying back his property, so the way we're going to look at it is really it's like a new sale. Meaning even though it was his property, but quite frankly, it's no longer his property. And only because of the Torah's injunction of do what's right, so that's why the lender's going to give the borrower an opportunity to buy it back. But really, because of all this, it's fundamentally a new sale.
Is he allowed to sell to someone else?
Who is he? Which he?
The creditor who took the property.
Yeah, in other words, it fundamentally belongs to the creditor. Does he have to now hold it for a year?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know. So it's a great question. So he bailed the mechta shtarzvini gabe. So I'm sorry, shtarzvini. And so that's why it was a creditor's responsibility. Sorry, let me say that again. And let me say it better. It's a borrower's responsibility to write up a new sale contract. So Gabi Sharchov Michael and Maimar. So the Gemara says, okay, that's all by the foreclosure document. So the Gemara says, but when it comes to Sharchov, Imisa Tapari, Baila Mikro Lishtare, so the Gemara says, now, when it comes to a loan document, so over there, once again, same story. Meaning once the bar gets his hand on the document, he should be tearing it up. So the Gemara says, and maybe his thought process is that the lender says to the borrower, look, I'm here to collect my loan. I know you want your loan document. I'll tell you what. Pay me back now. I'll run home quickly and I'll get my loan document. So that's just one example where you can have an existing loan document and yet the loan was satisfied. Or the Gemara gives another example how you can have the existence of a loan document, and that is that maybe the borrower is not going to tear up the loan document because he wants to reuse the loan document, which we're going to talk about in more in just a moment. And he wants to reuse the loan document because remember, every time a loan document is written up, it is the borrower's responsibility to pay the sofer to write up the document. So the borrower wants to save on that on those pennies on whatever however much it cost, and so therefore he held on to the document. So the Gemara says, look, when it comes to letters of foreclosure and seizure warrants, so there it is basically inconceivable for the document to be used and at the same time it not be paid back. Meaning it's very unlikely that will be a shtar piron. But when it comes to a loan document, the Gemara says, I can come up with scenarios in which the loan document was paid up, and yet the loan document is still in existence. Okay. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Meister Shachov, Bishuk, Afapisha Katsu Bo Henbek, Lo Yichzir Labalim. So the Gemara now quotes in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Now previously, I think I misspoke once. Previously, it was Shmuel who said that if you find a loan document and it is Shtar Hakna, so you return it back to the owner, meaning you return it back to the Malveh. The Gemara now quotes the name of Rav Yochanan. No, you don't. And even if it's a certified loan document, so it went through Beis Din, and Beis Din certified it, they notarized it, you still don't return it back to the owner. Now, if it was not certified, then it's a no-brainer. Then you can make the very very easy argument that it was a loan document that was used, that was written to be used, but because it wasn't certified yet, you can make the argument that it hasn't been used yet. And therefore, if I found a lost loan document and I handed it back to the lender, so he's going to use it illegally. It hasn't been used. In other words, the buyer hasn't received his money yet. But the Gemara says, even if it's certified. So, Rav Yochanan says, but I'm worried that, even though it's a certified loan document, which means that the borrower did get his money, but I'm still not going to return the lost loan document, even certified, back to the lender, because it's possible. Now, Shmuel did not entertain this idea, but Rav Yochanan is entertaining this idea, that the loan document was actually paid up. Okay, and again, so that means now that I'm going to be handing back a loan document, but to the lender for an obligation that he was already paid back. So now we quote the Mishnah again, and the Mishnah says that if it's a court document, so you return the court document to its owner, meaning in this case you give it back to the creditor. This is a question of Rav Yochanan. Amle Rav Yirmiyah Bari lo komaisa based in shavim el kagon shuchze kafran. So he says, look, don't compare and equate every maisa based in, meaning the Mishnah did require court documents to return back to the owner, but only in a scenario where we know that the borrower is a liar, which we're going to also explain better in just a moment. Well, he lied one time, and as a result of that, we're never to trust him again, and we're not going to, and from that point going forward, you're always going to put him in a state of doubt. So, the Gemara says, okay, but in terms of deflecting from this Mishnah, we'll say what we said just a moment ago. The Mishnah is not talking about a loan document, the Mishnah is talking about foreclosure documents, warrants for seizures, meaning those types of court documents where they are not necessarily involved with any type of piron. But a loan document, so maybe the Mishnah wasn't discussing that. Okay, Adkan. Okay, it takes us to the end of yesterday's daf, and just to quickly recap and sum up, so basically, after having finished the discussion in the Gemara about Davar Hamak, Machlokes between Rav Meir and Chachamim, whether or not I could do a transaction based on a future event. So Rav Meir says he can, the Chachamim say he cannot. And interestingly, what we learned in the course of today is that we learned a bunch of interesting things. Rav sides with Rav Meir on this issue, even though he's a Das Yachid, even though he's a Shitas Yachid, but Rav sides with that position. We learned that even though we go like the Chachamim and a person cannot make a transaction based on something that will happen in the future, there are dispensations that were given. Notably, we learned this morning in the case where a person does not have the means to bury his father or the means to support his family. So therefore, small dispensations are allowed under those circumstances that he can do a transaction based on a future. Then we went back to the discussion of returning lost loan documents. Shmuel says that you return the lost loan document back to the Malva. Rav Yochanan says you do not return it. And to simplify the Gemara that we did over the past Amud, basically the debate is predicated on whether or not we are concerned that the borrower paid back the loan document. Shmuel says, I'm not concerned about that, and therefore you just simply get handed back to the lender. And Rav Yochanan says, no, I am concerned about that, and therefore we just basically keep the loan document by Beis Din, and we do not return it to either one, not knowing who the rightful owner is. Okay. We made mention in the course of the discussion this idea of huchza kafran, where someone is proven to be a liar. And so now, over the course of the next Gemara, the Gemara says, look, we mentioned it, so it gives us an opportunity to explore it. Like, you see the Gemara just basically jumping from one topic to another, but with connections between the topics. We are on the very bottom of Tetzayin Amud Beis, and the Gemara continues. So, Amar Rava. No, sorry. Yeah. Zehov v'asal edan. Okay. Zil v'kafran. Okay. V'kafran, second to last line on the Amud. Ho v'asal yadan. Now, we mentioned someone proven to be a liar. So the Gemara says, as long as we're here, as long as it has entered her hand, Neima be milsa. So the Gemara says, let's discuss a little bit more detail. De amar of Yosef Barmin, yume amar of Nachman, amar lo tsein te lo v'ama perosi. So Neman. Okay, let's say we have the following circumstance. Okay, there's litigation between two parties, and the court issued a ruling. And the ruling that they issued is say tain lo. Now, say is the directive. Go out and give them the money. Meaning that the court found that one of the litigants to be guilty. and so clearly that the court said, okay, now our instructions to you is that you have to go pay. V'amar parati. And then after at a later point in time, he comes back and he says, I paid it. So Neman, so he's believed. Meaning that once the court instructs him to pay, so then we have strong reason to believe that he did exactly what the court asked him to do. And if at a later point in time he says that I paid, so he's believed. Now Rashi on the very top of the Amud says that, well, have him make a shvua, just make sure just to, that he's telling the truth, what's called the shvua tassis, right? It's a rabbinic shvua just to solidify that what he's saying is accurate and true. It's a it was instituted by the Chachamim. Quite possibly Shavuot Tassis was instituted after the Mishnayos, after the time of the Mishnayos. But anyway, the if the court ordered Seitein Lo, so then we assume that a person done, has done what the court has ordered him to do, and so good. And now now let's say the lender goes back to the court and lender says to the court, could you write this up? Meaning, you had a ruling, can you write it up and hand me the document? So the Gemara says that we don't do because once now it's written up and it's being held by the lender, so then obviously he could use that at a later point in time to extract the money again. So under those circumstances, we don't give it to him. So now on that, let's contrast it now. Well, let's say the court doesn't say tain lo, but rather chayiv litain lo. Chayiv litain lo in the context of our Gemara means that the court did not issue a ruling, but you're basically overhearing the judges say, does not look good for that litigant. We think that he's obligated to have to pay. But it's not a directive. It is an opinion that's coming out from the court. So now, v'ama parati, and now the person says, oh, I paid. So ain't an emma. At that point in time, he's not believed. And for a good reason. Because the court didn't issue a ruling. The court was right now, at this point in time, just offering an opinion. And it wasn't a directive. So for him to now say, and I paid it, so we're looking at him like, paid what? You weren't told to pay, and now you're claiming you paid something that you weren't told to pay? It wasn't an instruction? So the Gemara says he's not credible on this issue. Now, if at this point in time now the creditor, the lender wants this written up, so they'll write it up for him, because at this point in time we are of the position that he didn't pay back the obligation, and again because the court didn't give him a directive to do so. Now, right, but in other words, but the default assumption, the underlying assumption is he didn't pay. He hasn't paid as of yet. Now, Zvid says in the name of Rav Nachman, no. Whether or not the last words out of the judge's word say tain lo, or whether the words that came out of the judge's mouth was chayv li tain lo, under both circumstances, the litigant who was found guilty is going to pay. And if he said he paid, so that money is going to be believed. And under both circumstances, because we believe the guilty litigant when he says that he paid, so the Gemara says, so therefore we're not at this point in time, we are not writing anything up for the lender. The Gemara says, but if you want a distinction, I'll give you the following distinction. And that is, let's add one more wrinkle in this discussion. Let's say that the court gave an instruction to pay. And he says, I paid, and witnesses say he didn't pay. Now, admittedly, just between us, that's a very difficult type of testimony to declare, where witnesses come and say he never paid. That means, right, if we're really thinking this through, that the witnesses were there 7/24, right, and never, in other words, to testify that an event did not happen, that's just, in general, that's really difficult. So Rashi tries to help us understand how this testimony works. See Rashi. In the meantime, however, just, I'm going to speak about the Gemara more abstractly, just so we can get through the Gemara and the basic idea of the Gemara. So the court ordered that he should pay, and at a later point in time, he said, "Yes, I paid. Of course, the court told me to. I swear, of course, what I did." And witnesses said that he didn't. So now the witnesses are discrediting him. So the Gemara says, Huchza Kafran. So at this point in time now, he's a proven liar. Lo oso mamon. However, the Gemara says, even though he's a proven liar, we're not speaking in generalities. We do not mean that from this point going forward, we do not trust him on anything, he says, only on this particular obligation. So, lo oso mamon. Chayv atalitin lavam aparati, v'aidim aidim asushla parav, v'chazavam aparati, lo huchzuk kafran, lo oso mamon. Lo oso mamon. However, if what the court said was chayv litin lo, and he said he paid, and witnesses said he did not pay, so here, even on this particular case, he's not considered a kafran. He's not considered a liar. My time, ishtamutu dekamisham emine. So the and over here, because even though he said the words "I paid," in the context of he wasn't given a directive from Beis Din, so therefore he was just simply buying time. Savar ad demayne be'rabana bedine, because he figured, look, right now I'm going to say I paid, but look, Beis Din didn't conclude anyway. So I just need to buy time right now. So if getting him off my back requires me to say I paid, even though I didn't, so I'll say it. And the Gemara says, and we could justify it, because the court hasn't issued a ruling yet, and he's kind of hoping that the court, even though seems to be favoring in favor of the other litigant, but maybe with enough time, the court will go in the other direction. So the Gemara says, look, we're not condoning lying, obviously, but the Gemara is just simply saying that if he could rationalize a particular behavior, so then we don't have to call him a kafran. We'd prefer not to call people liars. The Gemara now, staying on this topic, discusses the following scenario. The Toin says, you owe me 100. And the Nitan says, I don't know what you're talking about. And witnesses come along and they say, no, that he did have, and to return it. The witnesses just simply say, no, the obligation existed. The Toim was right. So, v'chazav amar parati, and then after the witnesses force him to change an answer, so then huchza kafran, lo oso mamon. So here, again, we have no choice. Meaning that his original denial clearly was a lie. So the Gemara says, so at that point in time, we have to call him a kafran, but again, not generally, on this particular case.
Once he gets that label, is he prohibited from being a witness?
That's a good question. I was thinking the same thing myself, I don't know. And the Gemara keeps repeating again, la osa mamon. So it seems like it's a limited labeling, but I'm with you. I still think the question is valid. So the Gemara now gives an example, an actual case study. Shabtai, the son of Rabbi Merenus, katsavla lekalte itzdala demilsa b'ksuvasa. So what he did is he wrote for his daughter-in-law a fine article of clothing for the ksuva. Huh?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay, so for his fine article of clothing to put into the ksuva, the kabla aleha, and he accepted upon himself, meaning fine. So he contributed to the dowry, and a specific item. And when you contribute to the dowry, so that is written into the ksuva. Fine. Irkos ksuva. The only problem now is that. They lost the ksuva. And Amar lo haydvar me'olam. And so now, even though he made a significant financial commitment to the ksuva, but then, now that the actual document is lost, so he used the opportunity. And he said, I never made such a commitment. Now, asus ha'divar me'in, kasav la. And witnesses come along, and the witnesses say, he's a liar. Meaning, we were there. We know that he made that commitment. So then he tried to change his answer. Okay, I did commit myself to that, but I gave it to them already. So the conclusion of the Gemara is that on this monetary debate, he's now considered a liar, and therefore he's not given the credibility.
Did that happen in a row? Both things happened, or if this happened, or if this happened?
No. It's a sequence. It's a sequence of events. Back to the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Elai, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Yechayv l'chaver shvua v'amar nishpati. Similar types of discussions. A person was obligated to make a shvua to his friend. And he now makes the claim, I made the Shavuah. Ve'edim asur shelo nishba. And again, witnesses said, no, he did not make the Shavuah. And again, I'll just quickly highlight, it's this kind of testimony is really difficult to understand, how you can testify to a non-event. But again, just we're sticking on the abstract. So let's assume now that the witnesses do make such a testimony. So huchzo kafran la'osur shvua. So again, once he starts off by saying that he swore, and the witnesses said that he didn't, so at that point in time, we are now on this issue considered a kafran. So amruka made the Rabbi Abba amruluhu mistabim also the Rabbi Avinshin is chayv shvua bevased it. So the Gemara says, I can understand this ruling if the shvua in question is a shvua's based in, meaning A, necessary, legal, Shvua, that needs to be done in court. The Gemara says, but if we're talking about just a interpersonal Shvua, not an official court-ordered Shvua, and whatever, if for whatever reason, this is the kind of thing that didn't need to go to court, and just between the two of us, I swore, And now I'm swearing that I swore. So Avin Inishtamikreva Amar. So the Gemara says, you know, people do talk like that. Meaning, again, the Gemara is not condoning. The Gemara is just simply saying that I can see an argument to make that even though he said he swore, even though he didn't, but it was unofficial, it wasn't done in court. So the Gemara says, I could see people talking like that, and we don't have to label the person a kafran. So Adru came to Rabbi Avin Amrlu Ananami Bebezan Amri. And when Rabbi Avin was given this detail, Rabbi Avin says, yeah, that's what I meant. Meaning, yes, I totally agree with that. That this only will only label him a kafran if we're talking about a formal legal shvur that needs to be made in Bezdin. Eid Marnami Amravi Avin Amravila Amrav Yochanan Aichav Lachaver Shvur Bebezdin Vamri Shbati Vahidim Aidim Asal Shalom Shba Hochzo Kafran Lo'Oso Shvur. So again, the Gemara just reiterates this point that if you had to make a court shvua, and then you swore that you swore, and witnesses said that you didn't, you are now considered a kafran, you're considered now a liar. I don't mean this parenthetically. What does it mean now that you're a kafran? So, most notably, what it means is that now that you are supposed to go to court and you're supposed to make an official court shvua, but now you're labeled as a kafran, you can't make a shvua. Now what happens? Go back to what we learned back in Shavuos. What happens is we're going to flip the Shavua, which means now we're going to have the Tohen, the accuser now, be able to make a Shavua and now extract money.
But isn't there a disadvantage because he may be like reluctant to take a Shavua? You know, he feels like he's owed. Like we always say, they're okay. Like reluctant.
Understood. But you're extracting money from somebody, though. You can't, you know, whatever. You have to do something to extract money. Either witnesses or, in this case, the shvur. Am Rav Asi, Am Rav Yochanan, Moshe Shachov B'Shuk V'Kasev B'Henpek V'Kasev B'Zmano B'Bayom Yachzir L'Balim. Okay, another statement on returning loan documents. Okay, it's rather amazing. The Gemara really spending significant real estate on this topic of returning lost loan documents. The Gemara quotes the name of Rav Yochanan. Now you remember, earlier this morning, Rav Yochanan says, you do not return lost loan documents to the mafia, to the lender, because we're worried that it's paid back. Now what Rav Yochanan is going to say, not running contrary to his previous statement, but with one proviso, and that is that if you find a shtar chov in the market, meaning it was lost, and it was a henpik, and it was certified, v'kasav zmano baba yom, and it's dated, and you know when the loan was? It was today. So in other words, a freshly lost loan document. So yachzir lebalim. So the Gemara says, at this point in time, you return it back to its original owner. Now the Gemara says, now here, there's simply not a concern to be had.
Let's just go
through the Gemara first. So the Gemara says, first of all, if we're worried about the fact that it was paid up, Let me go in the right order. If we're worried that maybe the loan wasn't, the money wasn't actually loaned to the borrower, Gemara says it was certified. Certification tells us that the borrower actually received the money. And if you're worried that maybe it's going to be paid back, nobody pays back a loan where they got the money that day. So therefore, there's simply not a concern to be had. So the Gemara says, you know, we have another statement of Rav Yochanan, and that is that you cannot reuse loan documents. So right, so let's say David, you lend me money, and we write up the loan document, and so fine. So in other words, so I'm borrowing the money, you're holding the loan document. So a month goes by, and I pay back the loan, and I say, you know what, I could use another loan. So we can't use that same loan document. Now, mind you, by the way, it would only be to your advantage to use the same loan document, because now the date hasn't changed, and the Sheba goes back to the original date of the first loan. But the Rav Yochanan says it's really a fundamental issue, and that is that once I pay back the loan document, the Sheba that loan had dissolves. And so therefore, the next time we're using the loan document, it doesn't have a shibud attached to it. And as Rashi points out, here comes the problem now. In the event that I default on my second loan, you're going to use that note in order to collect, but meanwhile, it doesn't have a shibud. And then you're going to be unlawfully collecting properties on that second go-around. So the Gemara says, this is a statement made by Rav Yochanan. Now the Gemara says, now wait one second. So the Gemara says, how can we even have a discussion of reusing a loan document? If we're reusing a loan document, so let's say, again, David, you're the one who lent me the money, so you're holding the loan document, and a month goes by and I pay back the first loan. Now let's try to reuse it. The Gemara says you can't. The document is predated. And we learned, and we said this many times, and here's another occasion where the Gemara says it. A predated loan document is puzzle. It's no good. And the reason why is because it creates a fictitious lien against property. Because the loan only originates from today, not from a month ago. Utnan, and the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, Shtarei Chava Muktam Psulim, that if I have predated documents, they are puzzle. So Alalav Biyume. So the Gemara says, so the case in hand over here about reusing a loan document is where it must be that I borrowed money from you and I paid you back today, even though I borrowed the money today. Of course, that's strange. Of course, it's odd, right? Let's say this puts me in a great light, right? Let's say I borrowed the money because I feel like I had a great bet and I won. Okay. It's ridiculous. And now I paid you back today. And now I said, you know what? Let's do this again. And now, so dating no longer becomes an issue because we're still holding by the same day. So now, Ama Pare in Shibiyume. So the Gemara says, by Rav Yochanan having to teach us that we can't reuse a loan document, and the only case that it can really apply to is where the second loan is occurring on the same day. So you see, it's within the realm of possibility that a person will pay back his loan even that same day. So Amalei Mika Amina De Lo Pari Klal Tlo Shchicha In She De Pari Biyume Kamina. So the Gemara says, look, I'm not putting it out of the realm of possibility. All I'm saying is that it's highly unlikely. And so therefore, when you find a lost document and it's dated today, so we're going to go with the percentages. We're going to go with probability. Probably, it hasn't been paid back yet. Is it possible? Sure, it's possible. But probably didn't happen. Rav Kahana Markesh Chai Moda. Rav Kahana says, well, this statement of Rav Yochanan that says that you are allowed to return the loan document is going to be right. When you return the loan document, it's talking about where the borrower himself admits to the loan. So the Gemara says, well, if the borrower admits to the loan, so now, obviously, meaning now there's simply no concern. Remember, it's a certified document, which means that the money was lent. The only other concern is that maybe the borrower paid back the loan, but the borrower's telling you that he didn't. So the Gemara says, so now at this point in time, Rav Yochanan is making a statement, but if we're talking about a scenario in which the borrower admits that he owes the money, so then it's not even a chiddush. What did I need Rav Yochanan to teach me? What did he teach me? So the Gemara says, Mao detainment. The Gemara says, well, it's conceivable. Hi mifra pare, vahadikamra lo parat mishum de kabai, mahadalamisva be zimna achrita. Ulipshita de safra chayish. So the Gemara says, well, maybe what the borrower was trying to do was just simply reuse his document. Again, it's not likely, but it's possible that the borrower is really he paid back the loan, and really what he's telling the lender is, let's do this again, and the benefit to me is that I'm not going to have to pay the sofer to write up a new document. So this all is within the realm of possibility, and why I wouldn't be returning the loan document back to the lender. Kamash malan. The Gemara says, and that's the chiddush. So the Gemara says, you see, we're not worried about this because why would the lender open himself to this kind of risk? Where basically you know that you're not allowed to reuse this loan document, and if he's caught reusing a loan document, so the chachamim are going to put him on the do not trust list. So Maishna Mehadinan, the Gemara says Master Shaychovim Yesh Ba'achrayas Nechasim Lo Yachzir VeOkim Nekeshchay Moda Umishem Shem Akasav Lo Vos Menisan VeLo Lava Ad Tishrei VeAs LaMitzvah LeKuchos Menisan VeAd Tishrei Shelo Kedin. So the Gemara says, okay, but you remember almost a week ago in the daf, unless about 4 days ago, so we were discussing a scenario in which you found a loan document, and we said back then that you shouldn't return it back to the lender for fear that maybe the loan document was written 6 months before the loan actually took place. And v'lor min adim kein ma'avaguf elo shavik damalei kasuf shtar echina b'tishrei d'dama shemir rabbanu mafsi delay. And there, we didn't entertain the possibility that the lender would never do that. He would never take back such a document, even though it has 6 months of lien against a loan that didn't exist yet. So the Gemara says, Amri, hasa mishum desle ravcha, dekatar v'lekuchos, minitza v'atishrei, meinech nechalei, v'lo amr v'lo midi. The Gemara says, okay, but please understand, let's put everything in context. Back there, in that discussion, so we're talking about a six-month opportunity to collect against a loan that hasn't yet occurred yet. That is obviously beneficial to the lender financially. So yes, if he's caught, he's going to be in trouble. But there's a risk reward, meaning yes, there's a risk that he's going to get caught, but at the same time, you're talking about 6 months of lien. That's something that the lender is enticing to the lender, and he may in fact take advantage of that opportunity. But so the Gemara says, but over here, however, in our case, we're talking about where it's dated today. And where it's dated today, so therefore it doesn't serve any advantage whatsoever to the borrower, to the lender to reuse this document. It doesn't serve him for a financial advantage. And if it's a question now of saving the borrower some money, okay, in other words, that's not the lender's issue, that's the borrower's issue. So really, the lender has nothing to gain. Why would he put himself at risk of being caught reusing a document when you have nothing to gain? So the Gemara says, under those circumstances, I'm simply not worried, I'm not concerned. Okay, I just want to go a little bit further, just so we can be totally up to speed. I'm Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, I'm Torah Nachar Maisa Beis Din. Let's say you make a claim against Maisa Beis Din. So let's say, for example, Maisa Beis Din. Take a look at the bottom Rashi in Yudzayin Amad Aleph. Right? Ksuva, Mazon, Isha, Banos. Okay? There are certain contractual agreements that even without a contract, you are on the hook for. Right? The prime example, Ksuvas Isha. I marry a woman, so you're contractually obligated to her even without a contract. And if you make a claim against it, meaning let's say you're the husband, and you're making a claim of, I paid it already, so I just happened to have paid it without witnesses, lo amar klum, your statement does not carry validity to it. My time, top of Yuzayinim and Beis, from Maisa Beis Din, Kamanda Nakishtar Biyade Dami. When you have these types of contractual agreements, it's as if the creditor, now the married woman is not, the word creditor is not the best way to describe her. She didn't lend money to the husband, but she's on the, she's on the claimant side of this litigation. And because her ksuva contract is a Beis Din requirement, so therefore it's as if, even if she's not holding the document, it's as if she's holding the document in her hand. So the my time of Kamaisa Beis Din Kamanda Nakishtar Biyadei Dami. It's as if you're holding the document in your hand. So Rabbi Chiya says to Rabbi Yochanan, we knew this already, meaning it's a Mishnah. The Mishnah Ksuvos reads, let's say a woman goes over to her husband and says, okay, you never paid me Ksuva, and we got a divorce, and here's the divorce document. Now, the divorce document is not proof of having received Ksuva. All it is just simply it's verification that they are in fact divorced. They were married and they were in fact divorced. And his claim is, well, I paid you the Ksuva, I just don't have any proof that I paid you the Ksuva. So the Mishnah says he has to pay her the Ksuva. It is clear now from this Mishnah that when you have a based in contractual obligation like Ksuva, unless you have proof that you paid it, you are going to owe the money. So Amar Leh, so Rabbi Yochanan says back to Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, you're right, it's the Mishnah. But I put it as a general principle. If all you had was a Mishnah, you wouldn't have realized that it fits into this general principle. Meaning, this is like hindsight bias, right? After being, you know, told something which you didn't think was that smart, so you say, oh, I knew that. No, you didn't really know it. In other words, but once you heard something so intuitive, it's like, oh yeah, of course. Yeah, right. So he basically says, you only knew it after I told you. And Amar Leh, the Gemara is a great expression. Ilav de dala chasba, had I not lifted up the shard, lo mashkacha marganisa to say. You wouldn't have found the pearl underneath it. Meaning that now that I put it in this general principle, now you understand the Mishnah fits into this general principle, and you would not have understood it that way had I not mentioned it. We'll stop at this point in time. We'll stop. We'll pick it up tomorrow. Okay, second half of today's daf. What we picked up on is this idea of huchzik kafran. When a person is caught in a lie, he is now at that point in time labeled the kafran. But the Gemara says, even with that, there are mitigating circumstances where we don't have to label somebody a kafran if we can find a justification for why he said what he said, even though it wasn't truthful. The Gemara says we won't label him a kafran, but if he openly contradicted the previous statement that he said, I know we're in the right season for this kind of conversation. If he openly contradicted a previous statement that he said, so he's called a kafran, he's called a liar on this issue, and the Gemara says that that with that label, the Gemara doesn't say this, but we concluded that under those circumstances, he won't be trusted on this issue, and the other litigant can now make a shvua in order to extract the money. And then we went back one more time on the topic of returning a lost loan document. Rav Yochanan made the statement that if the lost loan document was dated today, then you could return it. And it led us to the discussion of reusing loan documents, which you cannot do. It led us to the discussion of predating documents, which you cannot do as well. And then we concluded with the statement of Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that if you have something which is a Maisa Beis Din, like the contractual obligation of a Ksuva, so there, the only time that you're believed that you're going to be paid is only when you have evidence that you paid, witnesses or some form of a receipt. Otherwise, the underlying assumption is you did not pay, because it's as if the woman is holding the ksuva in her hand.